Hello, Chisinau! Welcome to the fourth episode of MoloCast, featuring Felix Lindberg and Mikael Gilefalk, two students from Sweden spending some time in Chisinau. So, we have been here in Chisinau for half of the time here. We're going to be here for 2 months, and we have been here for 1 month now. Yeah. How do you feel about that? Feel good?
No, I feel sad. Time flies by, and I don't want to go home, but still 1 month left.
Why do you want to stay here so bad?
I feel free here.
You feel free?
Yeah.
Is it because the exchange rate makes you have more money than you normally would have?
I don't think it's really the exchange rate that does it. But no, of course, that's a perk. But I don't think I live very differently, I mean, money-wise, here than home. It's just cheaper. I drink more wine, of course. yeah, that doesn't really have to do with the price, I don't know. More the availability, I think.
They're more 24-hour open neighborhood corner stores where you can buy alcohol anytime you please, which is, well, it's a perk, as you said earlier.
Mm. Maybe we should point out to any concerned listener that we're not drinking very much, just very often.
We mentioned in the previous episode that spring has come to Chisinau.
Yes.
I think that the title of the episode was even Spring Has Struck, and this was the feeling back then, because it was sort of getting warmer and just getting more into spring. But the last couple of days since then,
and more than that, more or less the last couple of weeks, I would say, it's been really bad for like 2 weeks. Some days worse than others, but still.
Yeah, the weather has gotten worse again, and it's not so spring-like.
No, anymore. So we've decided we jinxed it by also lying and saying that we were sitting outside on our terrace, which we not at all were sitting on any terrace.
Yeah, it has been snowing maybe 3 times since then, so yeah. I guess maybe we can learn from this that honesty is always the way to go.
But we can try to jinx it again. The weather forecast says that it will be 21 degrees here tomorrow, so we'll see about that.
Yeah, we put a lot of faith in the weather forecast, so. Yeah. But we still need to find a good terrace where we can drink on. But either way, spring feelings usually makes you do a couple of weird things sometimes. Sometimes you fall in love, and sometimes you decide for some certain educational program that you want to attend. But you have done something completely different this spring, Michael. Could you please tell us about your spring behavior a bit?
Yeah, sure. This won't come as news to any of our listeners, because it's been manifested on the blog, and it's been read on the blog with our most popular blog entry so far.
Okay, we don't need to waltz and just whisper around it. Everyone knows that you have gotten your haircut.
Yeah.
Which is a pretty big deal.
Yeah, of course. I mean, it's been, like we mentioned in the blog entry, I think, it's been 16 years since I was at a hair salon last time. Might even be 16 or 17, something like that. Except for my family, I don't think I have any friend, which I still meet, or whom I still meet, who have seen me in short hair. So, of course, it's a big change for everyone.
So at the age of 14, you just decided that never more?
No, I just decided to get long hair. Well, not... I don't remember if I really decided to get long hair, but when it was long, then I decided to keep it.
Okay, so it was forever. So it was something that made you want to keep the hair rather than not cut it anymore.
Yeah, I can't really remember like a conscious decision of saying like now I want to have long hair. I think it was more or less happened.
Was it a teenage phase or was it something really that was a major impact?
If it was a teenage phase, then I've been a teenager up until now then.
Sounds fair, but okay. Yeah.
Which also, of course, could be true in a certain extent. I don't know. Could others can judge that better than me, I think. But it felt really undramatic, the decision, when I took it. I have been thinking of cutting my hair for maybe 1.5 years. And been thinking of it for more time, of course. Because
what has been the main reasons, the case for wanting to cut your hair?
I guess there are not so many reasons for cutting it, but there are fewer reasons to keep it, I would say. Before, I always liked having long hair. And it's been bugging me that I've been needing to explain why I have long hair, which is, of course, a very sexist question to get, because of... girl would never get a question, why do you have long hair?
No, more.
So, I understand why, because it's uncommon. And it's more and more uncommon, of course, the older you get, I guess. So I lost reasons I started not liking it as much to have it. And then last year or something, it's been really in a crappy... it's been really... Yeah, it's been very worn out. And more than ever, I had more or less... If I wanted to look better again, I think I would have needed to cut maybe 20 centimeters or something, which is quite a lot. So, I don't know. I haven't been so fond of it as much as I have been before.
So you grew tired of it?
Yeah, I guess, in the end. And then I took the opportunity... of cutting it here in Moldova, where I can get used to it myself before having
where no one knows you.
No, exactly. A few people know me, and I can get accustomed to the short hair before I need to face people who I know. So that was why maybe it happened here and not 1 month earlier in Sweden or something. But the funniest part maybe is the last trigger, so to say, was me. Watching, I don't know, 10 clips on YouTube of Christoph Waltz, the Austrian/German actor, most famous for his roles in Inglourious Basterds and Django Unchained. I watched some interviews with him and I realized he looks really good in his short hair. So I downloaded a couple of pictures to my phone and went to a hair salon. More or less. Yeah, well, you were there.
Yeah, I was there, so I know pretty much all the details. And I must say, it was a privilege to be with you when cutting your 16 years of long hair. It was it felt important somehow, even though I didn't really do anything except of saying, well, Michael, I need to cut my hair. Maybe you should cut your hair too.
Yeah.
And surprisingly enough, you agreed to it.
Yeah.
That was big.
Now, I think your behavior... I mean, I wouldn't say that it really made me do it, but it didn't stop me from doing it. I think with someone else who had made a bigger deal about it beforehand, then I would also get like second thoughts if you were saying, oh my God, are you really going to do it? I can't believe you're really going to do it. Then I think I would like react like, oh, maybe it is a big thing. I don't know.
Yeah, part of me maybe thought that, oh my God, is he going to do it? Oh, Jesus Christ. But another part of me thought, I would really like to see Mikael in short hair.
Mm.
And that part of me really just convince the other part that Mikael would probably be a pretty handsome guy in short hair. Mm. Which you obviously are now.
Well, yes. No, I don't know. It's as undramatic it was when I decided to get it cut. Or that was also the lack of drama was helped by the hairstylist.
Silent but effective.
Yeah, she was also very. She couldn't really understand why I would think, or why anyone would see it as a big deal to cut this hair. I even managed to explain that it was 16 years ago I cut it, and then I got some sort of reaction, but other than that she was just...
Maybe she thought you like sort of came out of prison or some mental institution where they didn't cut people's hair, and she thought, oh shit, this guy needs to get his hair cut, so I just do it real quick and make no fuss about it.
Yeah, maybe. That's a theory.
No, but I like this. You said that your sort of style guide for short hair was Christoph Waltz.
Yes.
Did you have a guy with long hair that you wanted to imitate as well?
No, I don't think so. I was in the beginning of starting listening to metal, so I think that was it. But I didn't have one specific role model.
Okay. Yeah, heavy metal does that to a lot of hair, I guess. I think that the older you get, the less you have to put a superficial way of showing what you like and what you don't like.
Mm.
I feel that I'm 25 and I don't have to. I started to use less and less band T-shirts because mm-hmm. it feels a bit silly, and I feel that if I want to. Get the message through to someone what I like and don't like, I would rather talk to them instead of just being this superficial about it.
Mm. Sure.
We've also been getting a lot of business cards this week while being here. Surprisingly high amount, I would say. We've been getting one from a landlord who is a professional director on the side. We've been getting one from the different departments we've been visiting and some of other suites.
Yeah, that was a bit random.
And every time someone hands me a business card, I still feel the need for, oh shit, I should have one also to give back. Or just the exchange of business cards seems like I'm not really there yet. And there was a time once that I really felt the need to have a business card.
Really?
Yeah. Have I ever told you about my modeling career?
No.
No. I had a very short stint of a modeling career about a year ago. Some friends of mine needed a male model for a feminist theater play they were making the advertisements for. And in the beginning it was me and a couple of other guys who was going to pose almost nude, but the other ones banged out, so I was alone doing all the modeling. It worked out pretty good, and I think the play was a success. And then later, a few months afterwards, I was on Iceland doing exchange studies, and I was at a art exhibition.
Mm-hmm.
Just checking. I was there with some friends. I was looking at some paintings, not doing anything besides that. And after a while, two women approached me saying that they were at the Art Institute and they needed some male models.
Male nudity again, or
not nudity? Okay, it was almost nudity for a record. And I don't know the details really, because they said that they just asked me, "You look really good. We would like you to model. Do you have a business card?
Uh-huh.
Or do you have a card?" This was the moment that I felt, oh shit, I should really have a card.
Logical, yeah.
Yeah, but I didn't. So I just...
So you didn't get the job because you didn't have a card?
Well, I'm not really sure because I didn't have a card, so I couldn't give them any.
Mm-hmm.
But I still said that you can call me anytime. I'm here in Iceland for a couple of months.
Mm-hmm.
You can call me, and I gave him my number. I think after a while, my friends told me that I did a mistake when giving them my number.
Mm.
I didn't get the job. And the reason I didn't get the job was because when I gave them my number, I did the call me sign, you know, with the fingers you put to your, you put the thumb to your ear and the little pinky to your mouth, doing simulating a phone, saying, call me. I did that without doing this sort of twist and bend with your back. Because you should do the phone with your hand, and then you should sort of lean to the side, saying, call me, wiggling your hand. I just, I forgot about the leaning thing. Okay. I just did the telephone sign.
So it's kind of militaristic phone sign.
Yeah, so they probably, yeah, they probably saw that I wasn't that good of a poser, since I forgot the most important part of the call me sign. Making me wish I had a business card I could give them instead.
Okay, but what do you think? If, let's say you had a business card, and you would have given them that, and then you did the militaristic call me sign, would you still be off? Well, was it the combination of lack of business card together with lack of hip twist?
Probably not, because the business card would say Felix Lindbergh main model, so they would still know that.
Oh, you mean professional? So, okay, let's have another question here. So you mean that you... Were you at any point close to making a business card saying Felix Lindberg, male model, after your first modeling job? Is that what you're saying?
I seriously considered it.
Okay, okay. Right.
Because they have, you can make them really cheap somewhere. And my girlfriend has one that says her name and know-it-all. As a professional know-it-all, which is very impressive, I think.
And a nice story. But you still don't have the business card, male model?
No.
I've also been a model, actually.
Oh, yeah?
But I was very young. I still remember it, but I was maybe 4 or 5. So I posed in some... in the Lake Vättern, in Småland, you know. With bathing trunks, okay, which I got to keep.
Mm-hmm. This is your home city? Hometown.
Jönköping, yes. Mm-hmm.
Doing
just
modeling job for...
in, I think it was one of our neighbors. She was a model, and her agency needed some for like the children's swimsuits edition of Sports Illustrated. I don't know. So, speaking of artificiality and modeling, last episode's guest, Valerio Istrati, is a man of many, many talents. Felix had actually seen this in the city, that he's an, that Valerio is a model, and he's on billboards.
We were walking down the main boulevard in Chisinau, and we saw on this billboard that there was a male model doing commercial for something, and this model looked a lot like our friend Valerio.
Yeah.
We didn't really think it was him, because, well, what's the odds of you actually knowing someone
who's a supermodel?
Who's, yeah, a supermodel, yeah. The odds for that are very low. But apparently, it was him.
Yep.
We found that out through his Facebook account, and now I feel very, almost starstruck. I mean, he's, apparently he's a man of many talents, and he is, at the first time we met him, I thought, oh, shit, this guy's a really good-looking guy. And now he even makes a living out of it. Well, maybe not a living, but he makes some money out of it.
Yeah, hopefully.
Yeah, otherwise we should become his agent, and give him better deals.
So one question we often get here is why we are here, and not only what are we doing here, but like, why do you as Swedes come to Moldova? And it, I mean, it's quite, in one way, a tricky question to answer. In one way, easy question to answer. It's because we like it here, or I liked it here, and I could, and it was not hard to convince Felix to come along.
Wasn't I? Or
no, I just wrote on Facebook like, would you like to come to Moldova? And you were like, yeah, I didn't dare to ask. I think you answered.
Yeah, I remember something like that.
So a year ago or something, when I returned from my last trip, and yesterday that happened again, and he was really, really surprised. Like, why would you come here speaking very good English? And we were then at the Academy of Science trying to meet scientists in the zoology department. And we had to wait for her for a while. And then another woman took care of us in the meantime, serving us tea, showing us around the different rooms there with these old school chemistry equipment, also with, new school equipment. But we mostly focused on the older ones.
She was super nice.
Yeah, she was really, really nice. And then she showed us photos of a really interesting expedition they had done last year, or two of them actually. So it was the different institutions and universities in Moldova going on a kayak excursion on the river Nistru or Dniester with universities from Transnistria. And these countries, let us call them that, are of course still in some sort of conflict since the war in 1992, and it's kind of infected still. So it was this is a very interesting expedition, of course, with students and teachers, professors going on this kayak expedition, and they also. I asked, and she said yes, they tried to put like one from each side, so to say, in each kayak. And then they went with the Dniester, and one day stopping on the Transnistrian side, and the next day stopping on the Moldovan side. Very interesting, and she explained, with some help from Google Translate, what they had seen and what they had done. And yeah, I think we spent like 1.5 hours with her or something. So we waited first, maybe 40 minutes for this woman we were waiting for, and then when she came, we still spent 1 hour more or something with this second lady until the woman we waited for came and asked, aren't you supposed to talk to me? And we were like, yeah, that's true. So this was so, I don't know, to me...
It feels like this answers the question.
Yeah, exactly.
Why we're here, because we would never come in close to experience that sort of hospitality and strange exhibition of how people work at home.
No, it would never happen. And it's like a mutual curiosity somehow. Another third woman came in when we sat there drinking our tea, speaking very little English, but being so eager to communicate. So we had some sort of communication with her, kind of difficult. But it was, yeah, I don't know. These things happen quite often, and it's like every time you walk out the door, there's a potential adventure waiting for you. So this is...
Some of the other Moldovans ask, when we're here, why would you come to Moldova? It's so boring here, there's nothing here. On the contrary, we think there's plenty and so many things to do here. As you said, yeah, every day is an adventure, and a month in our trip here, it still feels that way.
Yeah,
just taking the bus is still exciting, I think.
Yeah, still, especially getting off. That is always the... Somehow can be a tricky. I mean, getting on is easy. We're now speaking of the minibus or the maxi taxi, where you just wave and you get on. But then getting off can be trickier because you need some time to wade through.
You need to plan your trip.
Yeah, and then need to learn how to say stop. And I've learned that stop here is very much more here, right here, than I think. So sometimes they are like, here, but... And they say something, and I interpret this as, but I can't stop like that fast. You have to understand that. And I just mean, like, stop when it's convenient, but here somewhere. But you can learn how to say, like, at the station or something, and then maybe walk a bit further than you would have needed to if you know a bit better how to say stop at before the intersection or something.
Yeah, there really seems to be a big difference in, like, the perception of distance and time when you talk about, can you do it right here? When you say that on the bus, they really think, oh shit, we need to pull over right now, yeah, doing almost like a U-turn and doing a drift and just jumping out of the window.
Yeah. We also found a very nice cafe, Crème de la Crème, situated in a not so very nice shopping mall, but they have really good coffee and a nice waiter with dreadlocks, and I feel that my mind opens up to ideas when I'm there, so
feel inspired.
Yeah.
Why don't you think the shopping mall is any good?
I mean, I think it's an okay shopping mall for being a shopping mall, but I don't think like a nice, when I imagine a nice cafe experience, I don't think of a cafe in a shopping mall.
No, you think, okay, of course. Yeah.
But the cafe in itself is okay. The view is not beautiful, but it's interesting. You can see a lot of people and cars, and you can see the dark tower of Chisinau, which we could post a picture of later on.
Speaking of shopping malls, we haven't really done any sort of shopping instead of just the stuff that we need for our research and food.
We tried a bit. I was looking a bit for a suit and also for a jacket, but we didn't find any. But that was one. It wasn't that in one day when we were first to the store. We were the only customers in a big store.
It's always expensive. Such a weird feeling.
Yeah,
and especially that we're in an expensive store.
Yeah,
feels
expensive.
So
Italian clothes, but yeah, we didn't shop then, but to try, we went looking, and I always went to the other store where I got to try on. I don't know how many jackets to suits, like 10 or something, but no good fit.
So does this suit hunt sort of coincide with your short hair look that you feel it?
Yeah, it coincides in time.
But not feeling of dressing up and getting...
I mean, I had a feeling of... When I bought a suit in Sweden a few weeks before leaving for Moldova. I had a feeling of not being able to look... Now, I don't know how to explain it, but I felt somehow that the hair, and in one way the beard, I guess, stopped me from getting a certain Christoph Waltz look, we could call it. But I don't know, no, I wouldn't say so. I mean, not necessarily. This has been the fourth episode of Multicast. Thank you for listening. For further updates on our adventures in Moldova, please check out our blog at multicast.wordpress.com. To listen to old episodes of the podcast, you can check iTunes and Podomatic. Just search for Multicast. Thank you for listening, and la rivedere.
Hey! Right.